In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. I perhaps have said this to you more than once. I want you to understand it, so it's worth the repetition. The night before I was to be baptized in the church, I asked my father of confession how I should prepare myself. And he said, read this passage. Read this passage. Now, when we look at anything in the Bible, we find that there are various ways of meditation. There's a general view to the meaning of this. But then there's also the specific view of the power of the Lord who was present, of the woman who was a sinner, and to the Pharisee who had invited him to the meal. You have these three actors in this scene. Now for me, I was terrified when he gave me this, because I thought, how am I going to repent for all of the sins that I had committed? Remember, when I was baptized, I was an adult. An adult. Plenty and plenty of sin. And it's not just that if I were going into a monastery, for example, as Starrett Siloam did. If you have read the Monk of Mount Athos by Archimandrite Sofrony, they make a lifetime confession. I mean, everybody confesses, right? But you make a full confession when you go into the monastery so that the devil cannot have anything and say, aha, you've hidden this, or aha, you failed to say this, or aha, and then trouble the person's soul. How am I going to recount for all of the things that I did? The things that I did were so numerous and so varied, and the Buona Lua didn't give me very much time to confess. You know, he got up late. It was a Saturday service. People were waiting. I was down in the church. I was nervous as I could be. I was waiting to try to fulfill his expectation of me. I was waiting to try to be found acceptable so that I could be made a member of the church. But how am I going to do this? Now, I mistakenly thought about the Samaritan woman. Because this woman, maybe she's not a Samaritan woman, I just added that. This woman who was a sinner. So forget that I said Samaritan woman, I didn't mean that. It was not Fotini by the well. But this woman, she was so in need. You know, the first thing, if you're going to make any improvement in your life, you have to sit with yourself and say, you know what, I lack. That's hard for people to do, to look in the mirror and say, you know what, I'm not that much. All of this time I've been posturing. All this time I have been fronting. All this time I have been trying to let people think that I'm greater than I am. And now I have to come to the one who knows exactly who I am, the one who made me and the one who has watched over every single action that I have committed, good and bad. How am I going to lie now? How am I going to change anything? How am I going to make an excuse? There are no excuses. There are no excuses. How am I going to do this? And I'm not going to continue with the story of my confession on that particular Saturday morning, but I'm going to tell you, which was June 2nd. I will remember this till the day of my death. The point I'm making here is that when we look in combination with all of the other readings that we have been given, starting with Vespers service last night, we will find that what we are talking about is the power of the Lord to restore the sinner. The power of the Lord to restore the sinner. Whatever it is that you have done, It is not beyond the power of the Lord. The question is your ego going to get in front of the necessity for you to say truly, I am wanting, I am in need, I am lacking. You know, people hate taking tests because tests are the one sure way we can find out what you know. Especially the tests where, back when I was in college, we used to have things called blue books. You would write everything down. It was not this simple stuff like a punch card test because the teachers got lazy, right? So you can just shoot that through and have somebody else grade it. No, they actually had to grade it by actually having to read. But the point that I'm trying to make is that it shows you who you are in stark contrast to everybody else that was in the class that heard all of the teaching, who had the same book, and it shows you who you are. It shows you who you are. I remember going to the graduation ceremony of a man who had just finished law school. And I said it out loud and somebody heard me. I said, I sure hope this isn't in order of performance, because the person that I was there to see was definitely towards the end. I was hoping, because his name started with S, I was hoping that it was alphabetical. No, he didn't do very well. He didn't do very well as a student. And that was evident to everybody. There was no denying it. He wasn't first place, he wasn't 10th place, he wasn't 100th place, he wasn't 200th place. There were about 320 people that graduated from Loyola Law School that day, and he was, well, let's put it this way, he might have, if he'd been on a train, been in the caboose. But he graduated. He graduated. You understand? And graduation makes you what? Ready to take the bar. Now, when this young man took the bar, he passed the bar the first time. And there were people that were way ahead of him that didn't. So that brings life to the story. When you are baptized, having repented fully, you are now acceptable, just as he was acceptable now, even though he hadn't done that well, he was acceptable to perform and show his ability on the bar exam. And he acquitted himself proudly, because when people confess and when people are received into the church, they have a choice. They could continue the old way. It's like I've gone through this, like an initiation. You know, sometimes when you're in a gang, you know, you get jumped in. Everybody stands around you and they just start beating on you. And they test you to see whether or not you are going to have enough stamina and enough boldness to undergo a beating and accept the pain and not give up. Well, it's the same way in the church. In the Antiochian church, after you were baptized, the priest who baptized you slaps you in the face. Not hard, but slaps you in the face. Doesn't matter how old you are. Slaps you in the face, because now the war has been declared. You are on one side, and Satan and all of his minions are on the other side. But what we're talking about in this gospel now, the thing that I would have benefited from knowing what I do know now, is I should have concentrated on just the power of God and the love of God to receive me, who was a great sinner, and me who needed so much restoration, and me who needed such teaching, and it was not going to be available until I was submissive. You know, if you have a stubborn person in your life, you can't teach them a doggone thing. That's why we compare a stubborn person to a mule or a donkey. Stubborn as So, you know, it must break you from all that you have posited before. It must break you. That's painful. That's painful. I'm not that much. I'm not that good. And you know, we always have a criteria somewhere stored up in our brain where we have a certain group with whom we compare ourselves. you know, compared to those guys, man, I'm gonna breeze into heaven in a Cadillac convertible Eldorado. I, with Sean Puffy Combs driving. I know I threw his name out. He's in the news lately. Look, it's not that way. It's not that way. We are to compare ourselves to the saints. Worse than that. Worse than comparing ourselves to the saints and the things that they have done. We are told to be perfect as our Father in heaven is perfect. The one who created us is perfect. This is the standard. Now, no one has ever met that standard, but that doesn't give you an excuse. There's a great difference between a person who gets a 99 on a test and a person who gets a 49 on a test. And hopefully the 49 is a passing grade. But the thing is that the woman who came there, she was someone that no one respected. Her fame for doing bad things was spread so much that the Pharisee knew her. If you go into a place where there are individuals of some estimation, they're not going to know you. Why? Because you're not an individual of estimation. You're not somebody who is high and well placed. You're just a regular person, what they say, the hoi polloi. Just a part of the great unwashed mass of humanity. The great unwashed mass. Unwashed, what does that mean? Baptism. I'm throwing out cookies to you. The thing that is so important to understand is that in spite of all of that, she came, and in the midst of this feast, to which he was not invited, she goes to the Savior. Why? Because she is so in need. She recognizes her need. She recognizes her deficit. And it's not because she's a woman. We're talking about a soul. The soul has to recognize this. For you to learn, you have to realize that you don't know much. That's why I've always loved universities. I love stepping on a university. Because everybody who is in a university is saying, I don't know. I wish to know. I will go here to learn. When you go into the monastery and you stay in the monastery and you're with monks whose full-time profession is prayer, and you start to pray with them, all of a sudden now you can start to measure yourself appropriately. This is what the standard is. Can you meet the standard? Do you in your own life have a relationship with God through the prayers of the church, the Agbeya, the Holy Psalmody, and the Bible, the Synaxar? Do you know, the Bostan al-Rabban, the Paradise of the Fathers? You have this now as a good measuring stick. As we say, it's a canon. A canon is a measuring stick. And we measure truth. And we have apostolic canons because by all the measurement of all the holy ones, they have agreed in the truth of the matter, of the statements and the formulas of the theology. So when I finished my confession, I cried. It is seldom that I do not cry in confession. Oh, why? This is not histrionics. This is you sit with yourself prior to confession, and you blame yourself, and you say, there is no hope for me at all. There is nothing apart from Jesus Christ. There is nothing apart from Jesus Christ. So I'm not going to withhold anything, and I need fixing. I need redemption. I need that merciful love that can only come from the one who made me. You know, you get most of the love in your life from your mom, or maybe your grandma. I was lucky. I had a grandma, I had an aunt, and I had a mother. And I was loved like crazy. And it gave me a sense of security that people now yearn for so badly because they don't have that. but I found the surpassing love in Jesus Christ, because he accepts me even though he is, for me, somebody who is at a distance. My mom and my grandma and my aunt, I can put my arms around, I can hold, I can kiss, I can hear their voice, I can smell the odor that emanates from them, I can eat the food that they prepare for me, I can listen to the kind words and the encouragement that I receive from them. But through Jesus Christ, it seems more distant, it seems a little bit more attenuated. But it's not the case. It's only the case because I haven't approached. I haven't approached. I haven't moved forward. When you move forward, you will find him as close as any relative you have ever had that has ever loved you. But with one security that is immeasurable, he will never, never, never let you down. Your family may let you down. Your family may disappoint you in such ways that it is rending of the soul. But Jesus Christ never. So the thing that I'm telling you is about this woman came. She anointed his feet. Now, Jesus was anointed two more times. There's so many layers to this story. I could go into it for hours. Two more times he was anointed, but this time on his head, because he was closer to the passion, the crucifixion. But she anointed his feet. St. Beshoy Camel had an icon, not an icon, but a holy picture in his house that he loved so much. And all it was an image of feet that had been crucified. Christ's feet. They were crossed, there was a nail through them, and the feet were dirty, and the skin, the flesh was torn, and they were bruised, and some of the toes looked like they had been broken. And it's the ugliest pair of feet that you have ever seen. Who made those feet ugly? We did. We did through the necessity of his love to come to save us, that he walked all the earth for us. And this is why St. Beshoy Camel had this picture in his house in Alexandria. So I tell you, when you look at the Lord Jesus Christ, look at him with absolute certainty that he will take care of you. More than your mother, more than your grandmother, more than your aunt, more than your father or your uncles or anyone else. More than your husband, more than anyone. The Lord Jesus Christ will take care of you. And he will have mercy on you. But what you must bring is contrition. What you must bring is humility. What you must bring is truth. What you must bring is the desire to follow in his footsteps, knowing that your feet may become bruised and broken and torn and dirty, as in this picture that St. Beshoy Camel loved so much. Glory be to our God, both now and ever, and to the age of all ages. Amen.